Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Yahoo is leaving China because of an increasingly challenging business and legal environment, the company says. This comes weeks after Microsoft pulled its LinkedIn product out of China. And in a couple weeks, the hit video game Fortnite will exit. What's going on? Let's put that to James Griffiths. He's Asia correspondent for the Canadian newspaper The Globe and Mail, and his book is The Great Firewall of China. James, welcome.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me.
So let's first talk about Yahoo. It is the latest in an exodus of American tech and internet companies in China. We talked about LinkedIn leaving last month and Fortnite on the way out. There's always been this allure of a gigantic China market for these companies, but you know, now are the costs, the hassles deemed to be too high?
That seems to be the case. And Yahoo making this move, I think, is maybe more remarkable than perhaps any other company, because Yahoo's been in China since 1999. They've shown pretty much the most tolerance of any US firm for China's various regulations, for conforming with censorship. They've always weathered the storms, and now it seems like they finally decided that it's too much, and that really shows just how bad it's got in China today.
Well, I remember I was there for this Yahoo moment that so many remember back in 2007 when the company gave up information to Beijing on dissidents and they ended up in jail. I mean, is that just kind of a stark reminder of the reality that Yahoo and others have had to put up with? This is the cost of doing business in China.
Yeah, Yahoo were dragged before Congress. They were sued in the US. They were, you know, roundly pilloried in the press for how much they cooperated with the Chinese authorities, you know, far more than Google did during Google's short, misfire in China in the 2000s. And yet they tolerated it. You know, as you said, the attraction of the huge market was always enough to keep them making these compromises. And they paid the cost reputationally, and it seemed to be working out, but obviously not so much anymore.
So why now? I mean, as you say, Yahoo has endured the challenges of the China market. We know there's a new data protection law that will be expensive for companies to comply with. Do you think that's part of the timing?
Absolutely. So in their statement this week, Yahoo said they remain committed to the rights of our users and a free and open internet. There seems to be this attempt at framing this as if it's some move against censorship or move towards promoting internet freedom. But this is a company that has made pretty much every compromise you can make to operate in China. I think what's more likely behind this is there is this law that came into force on Monday called the Personal Information Protection Law. It's kind of like a Chinese version of the European Union's GDPR, which is privacy protections, greater emphasis on data privacy. And it is going to make it a lot more costly for both Chinese and non-Chinese companies which handle Chinese data. And so maybe if you're a company that it has a bit of a small footprint in China, you look at this and you go, oh, this just isn't worth it anymore. Let's not try and jump through these new hoops. Let's just pull out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, the political reality in China has been changing for several years. Censorship has been a reality on the China side of the Great Firewall for years, right? Facebook and Google have long been blocked. LinkedIn, before it pulled out, censored posts by Chinese users. Fortnite had its own gaming content, shall we say, adapted to the China market. And Apple's app stores had apps removed, including a widely used Quran religious app used around the world. So help us understand the bigger picture here of the censorship environment and where it's been going.
Yeah, what's particularly interesting, I think, in the last couple of months is that a lot of the companies that did try and find a way of operating in China, you know, agreed to censor their content, agreed to create new versions for the Chinese market, that even these companies are increasingly pulling out. And I think that's to do with two things, both a general growing hostility in Beijing towards the kind of tech sector. They felt that this has grown maybe too powerful, and the type of profits being made by some of these companies, but including Chinese companies, are just too out of control. And, you know, it's a similar sentiment that some people feel in Washington as well. And that's part of it. And then also that there is just less tolerance for any kind of speech that challenges the party. And there's more of an expectation on platforms to police that type of speech. And so if you're a foreign company, you're kind of caught in between those two trends, in that you're expected to do more to police your platform, and also you have far, far less leeway with the government if anything goes wrong.
So you're in Hong Kong. You, I'm sure, go in and out of mainland China. What is the reality now of being a user in China, trying to access some of the remaining Western apps? I mean, how has that changed over the last few years?
So the experience of using the internet in China has always been different to using the internet outside of the Great Firewall, and especially compared to using the internet in the US. Obviously, there are certain domestic services which are much more popular. So you've got Weibo instead of Twitter, you've got WeChat instead of most messaging services. And then, of course, you're prevented from accessing things like Facebook, Twitter, Google, etc. There are Chinese substitutes for various other services which are springing up and being pushed by the government. So GitHub is one of the few remaining major Western platforms that still run in China. It's a coding and software development platform. And there's been a big push for developers to ditch that and jump to a Chinese-run competitor. And so your day-to-day life online in China is just so different to how it would be for people in the West. And not only the type of apps you use, but also the type of content you're reading and the degree of control that the Chinese government has over that.
I know scholars have been searching for a term to describe what's going on, right? These evolving spheres, decoupling, splinter net around the world. Beijing's motivations are notoriously hard to kind of unpack and understand, but do you get a sense that this is something that the Chinese government might have intended to do to nudge these companies out?
Like you said, I think it's always difficult to try and peer into that black box when it comes to decisions being made in Beijing. Even if they didn't intend to nudge them out, I don't think they will see them leaving and feel particularly sad about it. It means that domestic competitors will be strengthened. It means that more of that data is kept in China. It's kept within companies that the Chinese government trusts and has power over. You know, I don't think anyone's shedding any tears in Beijing about this.
Now, you mentioned this comes amid a broader crackdown in China on technology giant companies in general, including, you know, Chinese titans like Alibaba just fined $2 billion for market dominance. I guess what's behind the broader crackdown on technology in general?
So this seems to be somewhat linked to Chinese President Xi Jinping's push towards this thing called common prosperity, which is trying to address some of China's yawning inequality that's developed in recent years. And obviously the tech sector is one that has minted a huge amount of billionaires. And a lot of those billionaires were not only rich, they were also independently powerful and were maybe throwing their weight around a bit more than the Chinese government would like. The tech sector has always been the kind of most privatized of all of the major industries in China. And so this is more about kind of reining that in, making sure the government has control over this major driver of the economy and making sure there's no one that's getting maybe too big for their boots, as it seemed that Alibaba founder Jack Ma might have been before his company was reined in.
Yeah, well, he was quite outspoken, of course, against regulation. Finally, James.
Not so much anymore.
No, he has been quieted. This leaves Apple as one of the few big American tech internet firm standing in China. It has also had to deal with the censorship. What is its strategy, you think? Do you think it can stay?
I think that some of Yahoo's decision seems to be made by the fact that this was a relatively small market for them. That is absolutely not the case for Apple. This is one of its biggest markets in the world. It's pretty much the most important market after the US. So Apple will do, and they have been doing, anything it takes to remain in China, to continue to have access to Chinese consumers. They've seemed to have set up a reasonably straightforward policy that if the Chinese government asks them to remove something from the App Store, it's gone. And I don't see that will necessarily be changing. Whereas the Chinese government maybe wasn't too sad to see the back of LinkedIn and Yahoo, I think losing Apple, given its reputation in China, given the huge consumer base for it, might be more embarrassing. So they might be a little bit more tolerant of Apple. And of course, just talking about a platform like the App Store, it is a lot easier maybe to police and, you know, get it to conform with Chinese regulations than a real social network.
And given Apple, of course, does so much of its manufacturing in China as well, right? That might help it keep it there.
Of course, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not just important as a consumer base. It's also, yeah, where they build half of their iPhones. So yeah, it's right. Hugely, hugely important to Apple.
James Griffiths is Asia correspondent for the Globe and Mail, and his book is The Great Firewall of China. James, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.